Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
It's a weekend, and it's hour one of the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe here. Happy to be with you, and we're going to be talking with Chuck McBride in just a little while, the creative director of North America, TBWA, Chaya Day North America. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, and what that means, it's good, okay? It's like worthwhile sticking around for the interview and all the other features we have. We've got Mary Lou Quinlan, Just Ask a Woman Her Thing today. Brad, is just one question.
For who?
So, for Mary Lou. She's got a question for us.
Oh, she does.
Listeners, right?
Oh, good.
We've got Patrick Meyer, Fusion 5 on the way next hour. Andy Borowitz is with us, too. And what's it this hour, good for dicing or bad for dicing?
We're going to do good.
Well, that's a nice thing.
But it's going to be kind of good.
So it's like semi-good?
No, it's good, but then we've got to wait.
Intro for semi-good, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got Chuck on in just a little while, and this segment we've got Mary Lou coming up.
So. You know, I know it's not of interest to other people across America, but here in Houston, last night I went to the Toyota Center and saw the Rockets play.
Okay.
And first time there, of course, that's a brand new stadium in downtown Houston. Well, I'll have to. That's beside the point. I got to tell you,
really engaged in the game.
It's a fabulous facility, and don't let anybody tell you that you can't provide people that attend stadium sports events good food, because they've got that down.
They got good. Well, no. I think the stadium, the ballpark, started that as well.
Well,
you could get some great food there too.
It's not bad there. You're right, and it was funny. Several weeks ago, I was in New Orleans, as you may recall, and I was listening to a Sunday talk show, and. The gentleman on the local show was saying he was actually complaining about how the Louisiana Superdome, in all places New Orleans, the food sucks. And,
really?
Of course, in New Orleans, you would think they would be able to do it upright, but
you
apparently not.
So. Well, up until recently, though, when you think about it, though, the Astrodome didn't have good food.
Right.
It's expensive food, but it wasn't good. It wasn't until they built a new ballpark that they get the idea that maybe we can do some creative catering here.
You're right. No wild dogs or stray cats around that Astrodome. And think about that next time you eat a hot dog.
Ouch. See, that's going to get you in trouble with your wife.
Before you do, Mary Lou, do I have time to do this?
Quickly.
British gossips are having to go online for the latest details on Di's butler and Edward's new baby. Why? Because the Internet has become Britain's source for juicy details that the press can't reveal due to the
Can you believe that?
Well, due to UK's tough libel laws, which, you know, you got to hand it to them, they do sue over there. Reporters may not divulge insights into royal family scandals, what Tony Blair's secret pastimes are. Websites are, of course, gossip free-for-alls because they get around the legal. But I don't know if you've heard lately about Prince Charles and his valet, George Smith,
yes,
and all the rumors about that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm guessing maybe we'll be, you know, maybe he's going to switch his name to the former heterosexual known as Prince Charles.
Jeez.
And maybe he'll just go by Prince.
Poor guy.
He's,
don't they have enough problems over there already?
Well, it's
now
just,
they got one more.
You know, and we think our, you know, if you take our tabloids they sell at the grocery stores, they're mainstream media over there.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah,
so
Grant Norton, they'll have him on there, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be great. Chuck McBride on the way in a segment or so here of the Advertising Show. What, about 5 minutes away now? Right now it's time for Just Ask a Woman on the Advertising Show with Mary Lou Quinlan.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
I get asked one question more than any other. Now that there are so many women in senior marketing and ad agency jobs, isn't this understanding women thing taken care of? Well, I have two answers to that. No and no. It's true that there are more women in influential positions, but doing the job and doing the job as a woman are two different things. I've met a lot of senior women who brag that being a woman has nothing to do with their career success. One high-ranking executive said to me, "When I speak here, it's always as a professional, never as a woman." At another company that prides itself on being a leading company for women, I had a hard time tracking down one of the female officers. I finally caught her on her car cell phone late at night. "Is this a good company for women?" I asked. Her answer, Sure, if you don't have a husband, a kid, a dog, a plant, or a life. When women shut down their womanness at work, it's tough for them to speak up on behalf of their female consumers. Maybe it's self-preservation, or it's a way of fitting in or surviving, but it leads to some women becoming mini-men. And consumers lose in the process. So, no, the woman thing isn't taken care of by women. And my second no, understanding female customers isn't only the responsibility of women in the organization. Women's business pays the men's paychecks, too. It's everyone's job. Someday all this marketing to women stuff will be second nature when men and women get the picture.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
Just ask Patrick Meyer. Mm-hmm. He might be able to tell you as well. Patrick's going to be on next hour.
You know, if Mary Lou is successful in getting everyone to understand that the way she does, she's going to put herself right out of business.
I think she's smarter than that, though, isn't she?
You know, she's author of Just Ask a Woman, I think published by Wiley, as I recall, and it's a great book. And if you want to know how to market to women and the unique attributes to doing so, it's a great book to pick up, Just Ask a Woman by Mary Lou Quinlan.
Oh, okay, and that was the commercial?
Yeah.
Let me mark that down.
Hold on. Tell Payables. Tell Payables to check, see if Wiley's paid up lately.
Here's an NBC. They've got a reduction in viewers, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not because of the programming. No, no, no. They're blaming Arbitron for this, right? They offered up an answer to television's big mystery of the fall, the case of disappearing young male viewers, mm-hmm. and the television version of the clue, the solution by NBC, was young Hispanic men. In the living room with the remote, or perhaps more accurately, without the remote. So mm-hmm. what they're suggesting is, since they've got a sampling now, the Arbitron and the TV ratings for television, mm-hmm. they're saying that because they're putting the mix of Hispanic men in there, that NBC lost its ratings. Hmm. Nielsen, I should say, as opposed to Arbitron.
Exactly. Well, you know, when in doubt, blame the rating service, right?
Exactly. Hadn't saved many jobs. We lost our listeners. It wasn't the radio station's fault. It was the ratings' fault.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And so what are you going to do? Go start your own rating service, or worse yet, sue Nielsen?
Well, this should be a big windfall for the Hispanic broadcasting mm-hmm. people, though, because it falls right into their hands.
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
Exactly.
Chuck McBride on the way. Chuck is the creative director of North America TBWHI a day. And Chuck is in a log cabin somewhere in the woods.
Do we know that?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether it's a log cabin or not.
We might want to check that.
We'll need to find out exactly where he is this weekend.
If you listen real closely, you can hear a redwood falling. Maybe they're building another log cabin.
A leaf falling in the forest, yeah. Is that what you're saying?
We're going to have to find out where he is. I think he's in the San Francisco area. Maybe he's up in the Great Northwest. We'll find out.
Or
huh?
Maybe he's a fugitive and doesn't want us to know that.
Maybe he's looking for that guy that jumped out of that plane with $100,000 about 20 years ago.
Yeah. Did you know that they found that money in a river?
Get out.
Yeah, they did. I saw a television show about that.
Hmm.
And it was the money that was marked for, what was the guy's name?
Well, I'll think about
O.J.
that.
O.J. No, that's a different guy.
No.
Okay. Chuck McBride, Ray Shillings, and Brad Forsyth on the way in just a minute on The Advertising Show. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated cheese.
Oh, Brad, put it back on. It's The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest this weekend is Chuck McBride, creative director of TBWHI a Day, North America. Let me tell you a little bit about Chuck, and then we'll find out where in the heck he is in the woods, okay? Hmm. Chuck began his career in advertising as a copywriter in San Diego, working with the San Diego Zoo. How about that? Chuck soon moved north to L.A., where he worked with Team One Advertising. His role was to position and establish the Lexus brand and help create a market share for the product in a very cluttered category. He stayed in the automotive space for quite some time, creating campaigns with Subaru at Whedon and Kennedy in Philadelphia, and then for Isuzu at Goodby Silverstein Partners. After Chuck finished his ride, he helped create one of the most successful branding movements to date with the launch of Got Milk campaign, which unfortunately has been copied way too many times, sadly. And the campaign's phenomenal success led to be the host of other brand opportunities with flagship brands like Levi's and Sega at Footcone and Belding, and Nike and Power Bar at Whedon and Kennedy in Portland. So, Chuck, you're in the woods today. Are you in a log cabin in the woods today?
It's stucco, but it's the equivalent of one. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So, you know, just to help our audience get a handle on the insights of the life and times of a big shot CD for TBWA Shy Day North America, what's a typical week for you, Chuck? Maybe you need to go back to last week, though, since you're screwing off this week up in the woods there.
Boy, you know, it's it's like the woods a lot. You're lost, let me tell you. I get a little piece of paper almost every morning that tells me what my day is going to look like, and usually I have to take a look at that the day before just so I can kind of hold my breath knowing what the morning's going to be like. But last week I started off with flying down to Los Angeles on Monday morning to show up at a shoot. And I actually, our budget was so small that I had to run second unit, so I did not only kind of walk away from the project that we had, you know, kind of sold, I had to run off into the bathroom at a gas station to see the guy shaving his head bald for us. I did that in about 2 hours, and then I had to jump on an airplane and then come back up to San Francisco for a meeting that I had that evening. And then on Monday evening, spent the night in San Francisco, and then I got back on a plane again and went down to L.A. the next morning and was shooting some more stuff. This wasn't quite as rigorous because we didn't have as much coverage to do, but spent the day shooting down there and did some shooting myself, and then got back up on a plane to come up and see my kids for a night.
And
back on a plane Wednesday morning and went down. So it's basically like a bus, right? Fortunately, I was able to stay the next 3 days, and we were doing some commercials, and I actually had to walk away from the shoot twice, though, to go back into the agency in Los Angeles and meet up with a couple of creative directors working on some other business because they wanted to show me a couple of the campaigns that were going into the meetings. So I spent 4 or 5 hours with them, all taking us probably to around 9 or 10 o'clock at night, you know, after we would eat a meal during those meetings. That happened two nights in a row, and then on Friday we ended up shooting a lot of film and having to go late into the evening. I was fortunate enough not to have to stay on the set all night, but I think I left the set at around 10 o'clock and caught the last light out.
Well, I don't know about you, Ray, but I'm worn out just hearing that.
Yeah, really. You guys have a company plane or what?
That was my week the week before.
Mm-hmm. You have a company plane, Chuck?
No, I don't, unfortunately. No? It's one of those things they don't pass those things out very
that's too bad.
Liberally.
Always the bus.
It's a busy business. I mean, I've got to tell you, it's certainly why, you know, there's that cliche, it's a young person's business. I think it's just because the pace of it's so crazy.
You know, we're going to talk later in the interview, next segment, in the third segment, about some of your experience with Adidas and before that Nike and certainly all the other work, Got Milk and others that you were a part of. But before we do that, and by the way, Ray, I was in a bathroom the other day and a bald-headed guy was in there shaving his head but had nothing to do with a TV shoot.
I think I'd leave if I...
He said, you have change for $1 is what he said, and that was my cue to leave. Of course, then I looked down at the key. Uh-huh. I was in the women's.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was a strange deal.
Confused, aren't you?
Usually. Mm-hmm. The what brands out there today, Chuck, do you admire?
Well, I'm still a huge fan of Nike because of their constant inventiveness. They do a wonderful job. I think Volkswagen has done a great job in terms of kind of recentering itself on the principles, the communication principles at the very least, which Birnbach brought them to early in the 60s. And You know, I'm you know, not to scratch your own back, but I really think, you know, Jobs and Apple have a really interesting thing going, too, with iTunes now becoming a much more of a consumer product and probably playing, you know, into this kind of modern music world that we're going to be living in now that it's all available on the Internet. That's going to be special, and they're doing some nice stuff there, too. Mm-hmm. And those three really are kind of the leaders. We all look to those, and there's a few. Budweiser comes along and does a few things that are brilliant. But
and then changes it 3 weeks later.
They tend to have a shotgun approach to things. So I kind of like the focus that I get out of the first three.
I heard somebody calling the Shady Rest Hotel there in the background.
Right. You know, and of course, I guess Anheuser-Busch would argue, or their agency, that they have a multi-tiered, multi-channeled approach to their advertising and thinking, I suppose, that different messages for different market segments. I don't know that I agree with that either, Chuck. You know, you mentioned Apple and, of course, a TBWA Shy Day account, correct? And then you, very strategically, Ray, he threw in Volkswagen, and then we've seen the iPod Volkswagen spot.
Well,
there's the tie-in. But you, iPod was featured on the advertising show a few weeks ago as the advertiser's showcase advertiser's item of the week, which we identified as a great execution, both with the, silhouette spots that you're seeing now.
Right.
And I thought you guys did a great execution. As creative director for the firm in North America, how's your company structured? Does everything eventually make its way to you for final approval, and then you pass it by Lee Cloud?
No, I would bottleneck everything if that's what it came down to. Lee had a philosophy when I came to the agency about every creative director should have a piece of business, and that should be their responsibility. And you kind of want to, I think, live up to that when you're in the trenches doing the work. So, you know, the way I see it is that these guys, everybody pretty much has something to do, and they got to go do it. And then, you know, it's their responsibility. You know, then we all become more peers, and the idea is, you know, can you impress your peers? So, you know, the person who gets their act together generally gets a little bit more responsibility, a little more stature in the company, is the way it sort of works. But we're very office-focused, and then we come within those offices, we get very account-focused. So the CDs are generally responsible for the ads they have right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the ECDs, you know, become a little bit more responsible for the offices. But the CDs really pay attention to the work and to those clients. So it doesn't get too confusing. You know, you got to keep it simple. It's about the work. It's about, you know, staying on top of projects. In new business pitches, you know, they point to one person. They say, I want him. And that's kind of how it gets done. So there's no reason to change that when you get into the thick of it.
And not to be confused, that certainly at your firm, Chuck, you roll your sleeves up and you're involved in the execution of creative strategy as well. And we're going to take a break, Chuck, and after the break, in the next segment, I want to talk to you about your Nike experience at Wieden & Kennedy and also how that may translate to where you're with your current work for Adidas at TBWA Shy Day. And we'll do that just a second.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Chuck McBride, in a log cabin in the West somewhere.
Stucco.
Okay, in the woods. A stucco log cabin.
Yeah.
There you go. The Advertising Show. We've got the Wacky World of Marketing with our executive producer, Bruce Abbott, coming up here in just a minute. We've also got, later on this hour, Goodvertising for you. And we won't know what that is until we actually hear it. So that's enticement, I guess, right?
Teaser.
Good idea.
Teaser.
A teaser. That's what it is.
You can put
it on the Advertising Show.
Right?
Advertising Show. There's more coming up next. Don't you dare go anywhere.
And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our Wacky Update heads to Jacksonville, Florida, where AP reports the coffee might be good, the sign might be bad. Officials in Jacksonville say they have no grounds, to ban the Badass Coffee Company sign. A city lawyer says while some may feel the name is offensive or immoral, no court would find it obscene. Coffee shop owner Richard Cook says the name of the franchise refers to the donkeys that haul coffee from the mountains in Hawaii. He insists they're not trying to offend anyone. The Badass Coffee Company now has 40 locations around the country. And that, my friends, is the Wacky World of Marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
There's a good example of an ad, Old Spice it is,
sure.
From many years ago. One of the few jingles where somebody was whistling and it wasn't the Andy Griffith Show.
And, you know, it's interesting because you just hear the music. You know exactly what the product is.
Yeah, isn't that great?
You relate back to it.
That was a great spot, too. Yeah. Chuck McBride, creative director of TBWA Chiat Day North America. And we're talking with Chuck this weekend as he's relaxing and sitting at a phone.
Mm-hmm.
A phone booth? No, just a phone, I guess.
I'm visualizing his feet up. He's laid back.
Maybe a brandy or something like that? Is that what he's got?
Cognac. He's out west, so it's early out there. Yeah. Hey, you know, we were talking...
Let's start a rumor.
we were talking...
His valet.
Yeah. Chuck's married. Scott Bedbury was the former
Well, that makes
marketing.
It even more interesting then, doesn't it, Brad?
What's that he's married? Yeah. I guess you're married. You married, Chuck?
No.
Okay, he's just recently divorced. No, I'm just making all this up. Scott Bedbury recently appeared here on The Advertising Show, former marketing executive with Nike. Did you work with Scott, Chuck, over...
I didn't get to, actually. No? His tenure ended, probably about 2 years before I got there.
So he was making coffee over at Starbucks.
Actually, I'd met him, though, when we pitched Starbucks at Goodby. So I did meet him, and we won that pitch, so... Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. Well, and he's certainly a great talent and understands branding more than most people. But
absolutely.
I'm curious, being now with TBWA Chiat Day and the Adidas account and your experience working with Nike on the when you were with White & Kennedy, does that, I guess what I'm really asking is I'm seeing a little bit of similarities to Nike's long-term, well-entrenched strategy, of course, more celebrity-based than what I see for Adidas currently. But it's, I guess it's still a lot of athletes performing in spots that illustrate the, put the product in the
right.
light and the environment where it belongs, I suppose. How did your experience with Nike translate to Adidas, or did you make sure and tell Nike that you forgot everything you learned over there at White?
Well, it didn't happen right away, I guess, is the one good thing. So it wasn't like I was leaving one thing to go to the other. I left Nike left White & Kennedy particularly, in this case, just because I wanted to get back to San Francisco, a city I love. But I tell you what, working with Nike is kind of like driving a very, very fast car. And what's great, it performs beautifully, and what you get out of that is a ride and spots and work and a bunch of experience that is invaluable in whatever business you go into, because, again, it's still one of the hallmark brands when it comes down to understanding youth culture, athletic culture themselves. They're confident. They do things that no other company tends to do in terms of forging ahead and doing it their way, which is all good for brand identity. And so when where it helps in anything that I do, in all businesses I have, it gives you courage to do things differently and to do things the way they should be and instead of the way everybody thinks they should be.
Yeah, I remember asking Scott how much of what they created when he was there would have made its way to the public arena had it been tested, and he said probably 50-60% would have never made it out of the testing.
Yeah. They had if it's good enough for us, it's good enough for everybody else. They had a great code there. It's like athletes talking to athletes, and let everybody else listen in that conversation. And I think that's where, when you think of kids, cool kids, influence groups within schools and certain societal structures, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all just listening to cool kids, and I think that they formed their own conversation, and everybody wanted to hear it.
So what are your thoughts on consumer research? Is there a place for that in the creative process?
It depends. You can validate your thinking a lot if you need to provide that as an argument as to why you use it. I do think, you know, I've kind of had to use it for that reason. It's one of those things where how do I feel about it? I think it follows. It doesn't lead consumer behavior. I think that we have to get better and better as a industry to figure out how to tune out the noise and get into the good stuff, because there are good things you can find. I mean, you can tap into things, especially some of the preliminary work that you do when you're not testing work and you're testing concepts and you're testing, you know, the product and things like that. It's brilliant what people say when they're just staring at the product and they start talking about it. Then there's something there.
Yeah, well,
I think that on the other side, to validate the work, sometimes that tends to sand the edges down.
Well, what I'm going to take away from that, Ray, is if I'm ever asked that question, I'll say, well, when it supports my concepts and ideas, I think consumer research is just fantastic.
Well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? So I guess that's pretty good for the record.
Well, but, you know, I think there's something to be said for the outstanding work you do see and continue to see and have seen in the past for Nike and the point that you made that, you know, when you have people around the process that understand the brand and understand what the brand needs to be saying to the consumer.
Right, the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. Research won't tell you that. The people entrenched in the process will. You were mentioning something as you were going through that spurred a thought, and I guess I'll just have to hold that. So what are your thoughts on consultants? Do you have to deal with consultants very often in your line
of
work?
No, I haven't. Only a couple times, actually on Levi's, where we dealt with consultancies, and they were kind of saying the same things we were, except burning more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the point I was trying to remember is a lot of, if you see advertising that looks a little fuzzy or mm-hmm. worse, off target, I think typically that is a part of the dilution that takes place when you have too many hands in the pie, don't you think, Chuck?
Yeah.
It's good to note that they don't have that there. That's
well, the
great,
good stuff.
Great way
does,
to operate,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And our special guest is Chuck McBride, creative director at TBWA, Chi at Day North America. We'll be back in just a minute on the Advertising Show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt. Stronger than dirt. New Age X.
There you go, a slogan that's been around for quite a long time. Stronger than dirt.
Guys,
that's what they used to say about you in college,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, speaking exactly. of bald-headed guys in the bathrooms, how you doing, Mr. Ajax?
It's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. They have an Ajax guy, by the way. I see he was at one of the food shows that we did.
He was so far ahead of his time when you think about it. Did he have an earring?
Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact.
I think he did.
He sure did,
yeah.
Chuck McBride, our special guest today on the Advertising Show. Chuck is creative director at TBWA, Chi at Day North America. As we continue our conversation this hour on the Advertising Show.
And for the record, I want you to know, I, you know, could have had Lee Clow on the show, and I said, to hell with Lee, I want the people that really work there.
Yeah.
And then we got Chuck.
Make
sure
people that matter. Right?
Make sure and mention that to him, if you would, Chuck, when you see him next time. There he is calling right now, if you can hear that.
Yeah, now Lee's calling me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You heard that.
Exactly. You know, I was fortunate enough to receive a demo reel from Chuck on many of his spots, current work as well as past work. And, gosh, I got to tell you, it's a best of Adidas and Fox Sports and Levi's. And we're going to talk about all of those. And one in particular that I liked. I liked them all, frankly. Most of them, I'll say. I'm not going to be patronizing here. Got Milk, the Aaron Burr spot from Got Milk. I thought that was a very clever spot, and for those that may not be familiar with it or just need to be reminded, apparently this guy sitting in a museum library-type setting with all these materials and artifacts about Aaron Burr are around him, and he's listening to the radio, what would seem to be some kind of an NPR-flavored station. And the announcer on the radio says, for $10,000, who shot Alexander Hamilton? And this kid that's sitting there, he had just taken a big bite out of a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
And so his phone rings right after the announcer asks for $10,000, who shot Alexander Hamilton, whereupon he picks up the phone and he says, And he says, excuse me. He says, and of course, the kid, of course, was in a bit of a conundrum. And what did he do? He grabbed his milk container that was sitting on his desk and pours it into his glass frantically, where only about a tablespoon of milk comes out of the container. And so he was unable to answer the question, and it comes up with the ending graphics, got milk. And I'm sure many people now, as they're hearing me explain that, are remembering that spot because it's a classic. Were you a part of the original development of the campaign, Chuck?
Yeah, I was part of the first round of work that had come in for the assignment. And what was kind of interesting was we've clearly settled in on got milk as the line, and we put together some graphic stuff, obviously, and we started doing some print as well. But it quickly came to bear that this campaign was about, you know, kind of torturing people by having them set stuff in their mouth and start mumbling because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't either talk or they were dying because of it. That was the formula that started to work. We had done about four to five campaigns or spots in the first round, and the ones where people physically put food in their mouth and then stressed out became the way to go.
Did the tagline follow some concepts that you came up with first?
Actually, the tagline came out of a strategic session. Mm-hmm. Jeff Goodby was sitting there and kind of, I think, mumbled it or uttered it, and someone, I think, quickly said, well, that's incorrect English, and it sat around for a couple of weeks, and then it came back.
Usually the incorrect English taglines are the best, right?
I think so, too.
More memorable. I think what was great about that spot and most spots that you see, certainly television-wise, really resonate with the viewer in that it really tells you. I mean, you can say, yeah, I've been in that position before, not with the phone call, but having something in your mouth where you need to wash it down with milk. So it's a great idea.
Honestly, that's what became the trademark of the campaign for then 3 years after that. I think I did a total of five or six other commercials that had people, you know, shoving brownies or cookies or you know, any other thing that really goes with milk into their mouth, and then had some sort of catastrophe happen.
Well, and speaking of classic spots, there's a spot entitled Hacky Sack. You may not know it by title, but it's the Nike spot featuring Tiger Woods bouncing a golf ball off of one of his irons as he's standing there at the at the fairway, and he's tapping the ball up and down and eventually and between his legs, and eventually he takes a swing at it. Now, Ray is a golfer. I'm not a golfer, and I like to say that I like it that way. But the way I understand reading about that commercial, and you can talk a little bit about this, Chuck, is
we've got to just a moment, though, so you may have to hold it for the next segment here.
Was that observed, him doing that at a shoot, and then the idea came from that? Very quickly.
We knew he did this. Yeah, and we wanted to capture it on film, but we just kind of had to do it very, very quickly. So the way we set it up is, hey, look, we really want to do that. Can we do that?
That's impossible to do, too, as well. Hey, Chuck, we got to take a break. Let's break on the advertising show and back in just a minute with more.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. My dog's bigger than your dog.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, along with Brad Forsyth, a classic spot, a kennel ration spot. Cute, shows pride and ownership.
Could get confused with Oscar Mayer if you...
So which is your alpha dog in your house?
Me.
You? Yeah, right. You wish. Doesn't work that way, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Had a good time talking with Chuck on the Advertising Show. Had to cut him off, but you know what? He's coming back next hour.
Yeah.
So this is good. In the meantime, if you want to go find out about Chiat Day, you can go to tbwachiat.com. And if you want to go to the www thing, you can do that, too.
They left day off, huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. We didn't get a chance to really get into the Nike Tiger Woods spot, but we're going to pick that up next hour. And I like to mention, as I know you do too, Ray, is that if you're listening to the show and in and out of the car and only caught parts of the interview, go to theadvertisingshow.com and click onto the archives.
The other parts that you miss.
Right. You can actually edit together and create your own show.
Package it, sell it, do anything you want. Sure. On the corner,
but
great.
Go to the archive section of theadvertisingshow.com and you can listen at your leisure, preferably during business hours, and get the boss all upset.
Normally, when we rip advertising, we spend a little bit more time on it. But this is good advertising, so we're going to take less time. Is that correct on this one?
Let's see what happens.
Okay, you never know.
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
A lot of good stuff out of Chaya Day that we've talked about already, but what have you got there?
Well, you were on the Atkins diet a while back, weren't you?
Yeah, for a few days.
Yeah, well, that's just what? Yeah. You had hamburgers that for 2 days? Yeah. Anyway, there's
I won't say anything bad about the Atkins diet, but all you got to do is, like, eat less and exercise, and it works just as well,
yeah,
folks.
That would be a two-page book, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
Exercise more. Eat less, and then you close the book.
And have a nice day.
Yeah. Atkins Nutritional is the client, and the title of the spotted cereal is produced by Mad Dogs and Englishmen out of New York. And the spot, if you're not familiar with it, opens with a school-age kid sitting at a breakfast table taking a big scoop of what, of course, you anticipate being cereal. But, yeah, you're right, Ray. It's white granulated sugar, and right there in plain sight, you see the name on the box of the cereal box, mm-hmm. Sugar Crunch.
Right.
Quickly, the scene cuts to a young, athletically fit, very good-looking 20-something-year-old female and taking a big swig out of a bottle of what I guess is presumably a soft drink or a sports drink, and raw sugar pours into her mouth, and she wipes her lips off, and then boom, here comes some more out of her mouth. It's kind of a funny deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, next the spot cuts to mom getting her husband and son's lunch pails ready for the next day, mm-hmm. or for that day, I should say. It's obviously in the morning, and the mom in the scene is pouring what, again, is sugar straight from the bag literally into the lunch container, both boy and husband. Of course, right at this point in the spot, the voiceover announcer begins with the copy, "The average American eats 158 pounds of sugar a year." And, of course, for perspective, they mention that that's twice of what your grandparents used to eat. Mm-hmm. And then as the action continues on the screen, the mother is waving goodbye to her husband and son, and the announcer adds, "Is it time to cut back on these processed carbs?" And then the rapid succession of Atkins branded products follows about 5-6 cuts, a total time of about 7 seconds, I would say, tops. And then the announcer ends with, "Join the low-carb revolution." The spot, in my opinion, Ray, illustrates the value proposition to the viewer very clearly mm-hmm. for the Atkins Nutritionals. But, and of course, the Stranger Than Fiction strategy, I think, effectively dramatizes the annual American sugar intake, which I think a lot of people are out of sight, out of mind on.
Yeah.
But the key, I think, and this is why I think it's an advertiser's showcase, but it's kind of out there in limbo. The key as to whether this campaign will be successful or not, in my opinion, is based on where it goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple and memorable, but next, consumers, I think, will need to see why Atkins products are preferable to other alternative low-carb products because, it doesn't have to have the Atkins brand on it.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, you can go out and eat low-carb products just by going to the grocery store
It will be interesting to see where that goes, too, because there is no – that's the beginning, the middle, and the end of the whole story in that spot. So
they created
a spot that runs only once.
They've done a great job in educating the consumer as to what the sugar intake is across most Americans' diet,
mm-hmm.
but yet, deliver that message back to the Atkins Nutritional will be the key.
Sure.
Because, somebody might look at that and say, okay, now I'm going to go low carb, but whether they buy Atkins will be another question.
And I think that, the Atkins thing is not as much about sugar as it is about just carbs, basically.
Well,
I think we eat way too much carbs.
I agree. Pass the pretzels, would you?
Yeah, right. Cashews, although I saw an ad about, what are those little pistachio nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly those are very good for you. They'll lower your cholesterol, fix your heart.
Right.
And what else? Make you wealthy. Yeah.
The many carbs?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question.
You eat a bag like we do. Maybe they do.
It's what goes with it, too, that counts as
what,
well.
What, the beer?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On the way, still to come, Chuck McBride, creative director, TVWA Chiat Day, North America. He'll be with us next hour on the Advertising Show. We've got Patrick Meyer,
And his thing is head and heart, okay? So that'll be all, right?
There's a medical angle.
Uh-huh, something like that. Advertising Show is being brought to you by our friends at Advertising Age magazine. You can go online and visit Ad Age at adage.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Okay, this is the Hour 2 alert. If you miss Hour 2 of this show, you will have not learned as much as you did if you would have listened, okay? So that would make a suggestion that you wouldn't go anywhere at this point.
And
right?
You know, if you hang around for Hour 3,
you won't hear us.
No, we won't be here.
Unless you record it and play it back, I guess. Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, being a Big Radio Midgets production, can also be heard on the web at theadvertisingshow.com. That's where we archive the shows as well. And we accept your questions throughout the week or during the show at theadvertisingshow.com. So We've got Chuck McBride, creative director of TBWA, Chai Day North America, with us this hour. We've got Patrick Meyer in Fusion 5. Andy Borowitz will be with us later on this hour. And, of course, the wacky world of marketing, too. So there you have it.
Mm-hmm. Chuck's up in the woods somewhere.
Yes, he is.
We ever determine where that is
with
yet?
A bear.
Yeah.
In a stucco log cabin.
Yeah.
Right.
He's stucco in a log cabin. Is that what you're saying?
Sounded pretty relaxed, though.
Yeah.
Any more relaxed, and I think Chuck would have been asleep, okay?
You know, how often have we reported...
I'm real relaxed.
How often have we reported on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? Frequently.
Too
here,
often.
Here
yeah.
on the Advertising Show.
Absolutely.
I've got news for you, Ray. You can put away the Chardonnay.
Okay.
And you can crack open a beer.
Why?
Because Bravo... The cable network behind the summer hit Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
Yes.
Well, they're developing a one-time special called Straight Eye for the Queer Guy.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
No, I'm not.
Jeez.
And it's scheduled to air sometime in 2004, so
okay.
Set your recorders. The network has not confirmed a cast or subject for the hour-long special, but it will release the premise for the original by having straight guys instruct gay guys on the arts of football. And flannel shirts.
Oh,
now, I don't know about you, but I think the flannel shirt angle must have been an equal rights issue.
I think I'll watch HGTV that night. I think I like that better.
Well,
yeah.
That would be Straight Eye for the Gardening Guy.
Gardening Guy.
I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know.
Patrick Meyer is a part of the Advertising Show, and he is up next right here.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
If I asked you what's more powerful to you and what you do, your head or your heart, you could go back and forth. But in marketing, both are critical. To be an effective brand, you need to have both the head and the heart component working for your brand. Let me give you an interesting example. Miller Beer. The beer category is always about heart, attitude, imagery. But here's an example where that imagery was combined, in the case of Miller Lite, with a very important head reason that people are now buying. About 3-4 months ago, the SAB people, owners of Miller Beer, did their homework with consumers, and as they talked to them, they uncovered the fact that carbs and lower carbs are really important. So as they start to build Miller Lite, turn it around, and unfold with new chapters, these smart marketers, with their ad agency Ogilvy & Mather, put together a series of TV spots that broke during the NFL. Very simple message. Miller Lite has an advantage versus Bud Light. 50% less carbs, an advantage versus Coors, a third less carbs. Take that and combine that with taste, and you've got a powerful proposition. More and more people are buying more and more Miller Lite, all as a result of this new advertising and this very intrinsic and powerful message of lower carbs, great taste. So here's what I ask you to do. Think about the head and heart part of your brand, your business. The head is the intrinsic story, the intuitive story, the facts. But you also have to wrap it in a shell of imagery that's fun, that's appealing, that's sexy, that's cool. So next time you're working on your brand with your agency and your marketing team, look for the head and the heart and make sure it's balanced.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer from Fusion 5. And remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
Always some good advice there, too. It's good advice for you as a local advertiser as well to figure out what the head and heart is all about. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be successful in your marketing efforts if you do that.
You know what? I read that a few weeks ago or several weeks ago about how Miller Beer did figure out a way, and of course we've all seen the spots, to differentiate.
Yeah, it's about finally time, huh?
Point of differentiation from them versus the other light beers out there, and during a time when we're talking about low carbs and Atkins diets and things like that, they figured out a way to take something that existed within the product and formulate a message that resonates with their target and be able to differentiate their product from their competitors. It's a great idea.
No, they did a great job.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I think it's the best thing we've seen since they introed back in the late 60s, early 70s, the Taste Great, Less Filling concept.
Yeah, which is still a good concept as well.
All right.
Chuck McBride just about to join us this hour for the second hour of the Advertising Show. Creative Director, TBWA, Chiat Day, North America. Here's something that is close to each of our hearts. It's called tobacco. Not that we have it close to our hearts because we don't like it exactly. Tobacco companies, this is from Reuters, actually from New York, four top U.S. tobacco companies, listen to this, have agreed to pull cigarette and smokeless tobacco ads from news magazine editions geared at school children.
Well, why start now?
Can you believe this? Listen, they said Philip Morris USA, R.J. Reynolds, Brown & Williamson, and U.S. Smokeless Tobacco Company will remove ads from hundreds of thousands of school editions of U.S. News and World Report, Time and Newsweek, distributed weekly to high schools and middle schools.
That's awfully honorable of them.
Isn't that sweet?
It is.
Special. In June, the Tobacco Enforcement Committee of the National Association of Attorneys General wrote to the four companies asking they make the arrangements. The New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer said the advertisements were a clear violation of the National Tobacco Settlement Agreement, which prohibits marketing activities that target youth. Well, obviously so. I mean, come on.
You know,
so they had to be asked before they actually complied with this stuff?
There was a time when your sixth grader would come home. There was a time when your sixth grader would come home with stained yellow fingers, and you knew it was silly putty.
Yeah.
Now
not anymore. That's absolutely amazing. They could put stuff like that in those editions.
It really is, isn't it?
And they're gone now.
Yeah.
So, c'est la vie.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Well, I guess. That says something. If they can do it now, I guess they could have done that years ago. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about Williams, our favorite guy, Brian Williams? We've talked about him.
Yeah. Right.
NBC said recently that beginning in January, Brian Williams will no longer anchor the news with Brian Williams on CNBC in order to focus full-time on reporting and anchoring the NBC news. That's correct.
Yeah.
The network confirmed, as previously reported, that Williams will replace Tom Brokaw as the top anchor for NBC News upon Brokaw's departure, which will be right after the 2004 presidential election.
It'll be interesting to see the change.
He's very good, and he's been, you know, of course, groomed for this. But Brokaw, I think he may be leaving a little early.
Why?
Well, I mean, look, I saw Walter Cronkite on Larry King a week or two ago.
Yeah, he's got a problem.
And he was asked if he felt he left a little early, and he thinks he did.
Did he really?
Brokaw, I think, still has, you know, he's still with it. I think Walter seemed a little old when he retired. Was that because we were younger?
Yeah, exactly. they had older news people back then, too.
Yeah.
Hey, people don't buy TV Guide anymore. Apparently they do, but if they do, they're upping the price by 50 cents.
Well, to make up for the deflated circulation.
$2.50.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Well, go online.
If you want it, go get it.
Yeah. Or punch your little button on your remote.
Yeah, what a concept, huh?
Yeah.
Stay with us for Chuck McBride up next on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd. So I carry an American Express card, the one card I need for travel and entertaining, for business and pleasure. Without this.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and a good old Mel Blankspot says, is Mr. Bunny for American Express years and years ago. American Express, of course, is Tiger now. Mm-hmm. Tiger does just about every commercial there is to do, I think, for the most part.
And we rushed Chuck last hour, and we're going to get into that after you do.
That's all right. He's very relaxed.
Well,
we can stand to rush him a little bit. So we need to reintroduce him here.
Do your intro, and then I'll jump back into Nike, which for anyone who's still listening from last hour will know that we...
Is anyone still listening?
Yeah.
Hello? Is this on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chuck began his career in advertising as a copywriter in San Diego, working with the San Diego Zoo. You might have heard us talk about that. Everything that Chuck has touched produced iconic brand-building advertising that sold product, and even a few can be found on permanent exhibit at the New York Museum of Modern Art. Believe that. Huh? Mm. Chuck's career over the past 10 years has earned him every major industry award and recently received an Emmy for the Nike Morning After Spot. So back for the second hour. Nice to have you on the show, Chuck.
Thank you.
Is it true, Chuck, before we jump into Nike and Tiger Woods, that while you were at San Diego Zoo, that's where actually the origination of guerrilla marketing started? Not true?
No, it wasn't, but I was working on the guerrilla wall to there on the freeway, ironically.
Well, you know, of course, anyone familiar with the San Diego Zoo, it's an outstanding facility, and it's a great thing to have worked on. Before we ended last hour, I asked you a question that took certainly more time to answer than we had time available, and I'd like to jump back into that. The Nike hacky sack spot, it was Tiger Woods bouncing a golf ball off of the head of one of his irons. I understood that at one time that the idea for that spot came while you saw Tiger Woods observed, or somebody observed him,
right,
warming up prior to another shoot for Nike at a scripted commercial, and somebody saw that and said, hey, there's a spot idea. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I guess I don't want to rewrite history per se, but I do think this will give me an opportunity to correct a few of those.
Please.
Those notions, because we walked in knowing what we wanted to do. We knew he could do this, or we didn't know how good he could do it, and he certainly showed us how well. But the notion was we wanted to capture him doing that at lunchtime, and it was just a formality that we didn't get to cover off with Tiger in the preliminary meetings about the commercial we were shooting at the time, which was one where he kind of goes out to the driving range and a bunch of other people start following him in his motions, and they start hitting 300-yard drives too, and everybody starts hitting 300 drives, and then he walks away and they all go crazy. So when we were on that set, we just said, hey, could you come over here and do this? We just noticed, and I think the way that the director and the DP approached him was, hey, we just noticed you doing that over there. Could you come over here and do that for us on camera? So for the talent and for the way that worked, it kind of got scripted in that sense on the shoot day.
So there's a little bit of truth to the story.
Well, that's how Tiger felt about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to some philosophical questions for a creative director of a major agency like your own, the TBWA Shy Day. Do you think, Chuck, that the creation of a great ad can be boiled down to a formula or a sequence of steps, if you will, to come up with concepts?
Well, it certainly is a sequence of elimination. I can certainly say that. Most of the good thinking these days, I think, comes from editing out the so-so thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even editing out the good thinking and then trying to get to the great thinking. No, there's no formula. If there would, I think we'd have a lot better work out there. I think that the creation of formula actually, in the sense, creates a sense of monotony and repetition of things, and ultimately it challenges the medium a little bit, because as we look at film and TV shows, we don't like to see formulaic storylines, and the same is true within commercial storylines too.
Mm-hmm.
We can find ourselves trapped in that very easily. So, I wish there was, but there isn't. So every problem can be unique, every spot can be unique, and usually when they are, and you've done your work, you come out with something good.
You know, and you've worked on many accounts that have great example of being consistent in their message and their brand identity. And it would seem to me that sustaining a brand identity over a long period of time while keeping it relevant and fresh would be a fairly simple strategy, but yet it's not what you see so much out there. Why do you think it's so difficult for most companies to follow?
Well, I think that the problem that we've had lately in the industry has been we've gotten a little bit better at brand identity, but I think we've lacked a little bit in freshness. And, you kind of hit the nail right on the head there. if what we're trying to do is be consistent yet constantly evolving or changing and staying somewhat relevant, they tend to be at odds with each other to some degree. And what helps sometimes is to have certain packaging elements. IBM has the blue bars, you know, the kind of ratio aspect to film kind of feel on their commercials. And Apple tends to have a simplistic idea that's product-focused with use of color and or absence of color, i.e. white or black. Mm-hmm. And they had these kind of tonal ideas, but, you know, for the most part, they try to shift out the ideas. And Apple even got into some storytelling for a while there, but try to keep it simple to keep maintain their brand identity within all that. But it's hard. It is constantly the challenge, because I don't know how many times that I-word integration has come up over the last, you know, 5 years of my career, certainly more in the last five than the first ten. But it is a strain, and it is a challenge, because I think that for the most part, if the world were, you know, leveled, and I mean in terms of it was not about these opinions in terms of trying to gain kind of identity over time and stuff like that, you would probably find yourself a lot more exciting and dealing in a lot more free environment if you just had to take the shackles off and go out and do something great, as it would pertain to a brief or to a positioning on that certain assignment.
Yeah, well, integration is something a lot of agencies talk about, but few can actually execute it, and that's we could spend
It's weird, because sometimes it's just, again, like when I go back to the Nike example, it's a brand having a point of view and knowing how to express that point of view back to the consumers. I've seen integration come down to color. I've seen integration come down to the logo and the consistent corner. I mean, I've seen people argue about integration and say some of the most crazy stuff in a meeting, only in advertising.
And for those not familiar, integration, very simply said, is just making certain that there's some commonalities throughout many channels that your message is traveling through. Would you agree with that, Chuck, in a simple form? Chuck?
I'm sorry.
Repeat that question.
I said, for those that may not be familiar, integration just simply being a commonality of elements or element that travels through various channels for an advertiser's message.
I think that's a nice way to put it. I mean, I think that when it comes down to a client, they want to make sure that everything says the same, looks the same, you know, is the same.
Mm-hmm. So who's responsible for mediocre advertising? We've got a little over a minute left here. Is it the client or is it the agency?
Both. I mean, I think the agency has to take the biggest blame. But a client pays for it, so, you know, it was their poor investment.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes out of this weird thing called a relationship, and with that relationship, you know, if you're both game for pushing each other and doing better things than the people around you, then I think you can further the cause and do some exciting stuff. If not, then, you know, and you're happy with mediocre or good or you know, what you think is right but doesn't really respond in market or even in the cultural place, you know, you're playing a lot of catch-up there.
Well, and when I see outstanding work that you've done for example, Fox Sports or back when you worked with Nike or, you know, any number of spots on your reel, I've got to believe that the agency was willing to accept unusual or different ideas. And I'm going to talk to you about risk-taking, which I think you would agree a lot less of that is happening today than maybe years back. And we're going to hold that for right after the break.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. I want to remind you, too, that we have the website available, too, not only for questions, but it's a great place to go to find the archive shows that we've got up there and lots of great people, too. Or if you're listening on the web, theadvertisingshow.com, it's a great place to get it, too. If you don't have a radio station in the market that carries this show, that's unfortunate, but that's only short-term, okay? With Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth, and Chuck McBride, Creative Director at TVWH Shy at Day North America. Wacky World of Marketing on the way a little bit later on this hour. We've got, Andy Borowitz coming up. So if you go anywhere, that would be a bad thing. Stay right here.
And now it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing. Wacky World of Marketing. Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to New York City, where a lot of marketers try to get their product to jump out at people. Well, how about this for literally? It was love at first sight when 15-year-old Jennifer Coxwell saw a German Shepherd in a New York City pet store window. The dog obviously loved her, too. After oohing and aahing over the dog, Coxwell continued down the block when she heard a crash of glass behind her. The dog had bolted through the window to go play with his new friend. The pet shop owner let Coxwell have the pooch for the price of fixing the window, which, by the way, was less than half the asking price for the dog. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and, unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
I'm Ewell Gibbons. Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattails. Yes, they're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's why grape nuts is part of my breakfast. This is a wholesome cereal made from wheat and barley. These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with 8 essential vitamins.
Playing that spot for Chuck today, Ewell Gibbons. By the way, Chuck, if you do see any cattails, I would suggest not eating them. It's a good idea.
Right. And, of course,
killed him.
That term today in 2003 could actually mean something other than wild growing at the side of the road.
Only in your mind.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck McBride, creative director, TBWH, Hyatt Day, North America. Today he's in a stucco log cabin stuck in the woods somewhere.
Can you use stuck one more time?
Stuck. Stuck.
Chuck, welcome back to the show. Excuse me. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the outstanding work that we see out there and advertisers willing to take risk. And I think when they are willing to take risk or accept risk from an agency is when they really are part of the process and lend themselves to breakthrough advertising. Why do you think, or maybe you may not agree with this, but I feel that there's less risk takers today than there were a decade or so ago. If that's the case, if you agree, why is that?
Yeah, I think so, too, and I wish I knew exactly why, because I think I'd rush to the people that I knew were going to do it in the first place. But the, you know, the 2 years ago, I think, especially in San Francisco, we had a lot of risk-taking. Then suddenly we hit this wall, and nobody wanted to do it, and everybody was being way more accountable to the bottom lines. And a lot of people were fired because they went off and spent marketing money unwisely, and I think that still echoes within, you know, corporate hallways today because, you know, if you go off and you look at your sales to marketing expenditures and you hit a certain percentage, you know, you really get pushed down in the company. They don't like that stuff. I mean, that's why you see the rise of the CFOs and the presidencies right now than you do the marketing people or salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking about money. They're not talking about building brands or they're not talking about building mind share and they're not talking about building cultural influence. They're talking about making money. Now, you would think that if you did one, you could get the other, but I think that if you run your numbers smarter, I guess, is how the quick default when you're looking at a 2-year to 3-year position.
Right.
And, you know, as a manager.
It's unfortunate that, and I don't know, I tend to blame it all on Wall Street and public companies and the, you know, of course, everyone has a mortgage payment to make, and whether you're a CMO or on the agency side of a publicly owned ad agency, of course, not maybe so much from the agency side as from the client side. But, you know, being conservative from the client side, I guess, is probably viewed internally as not such a bad thing. And unfortunately, there are many agencies out there, not the one you work for, and I mean that sincerely by respect of your work that we see coming out of TBWH Hyatt Day, but there are agencies out there that play it safe because they know that they have a client that's looking for safe, easy advertising, and they deliver.
It's like, you know, big, huge sections of what we demographics within the agency culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got big conservative agencies. We've got small risky ones. We don't really have big risky ones, though, do we?
No.
And yeah, what does that say?
I'd say that's once it gets to anything too big, just doesn't get risky anymore.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, your background with Wieden & Kennedy and a well-known agency for outstanding work. When you worked at Wieden, was that where the Fox Sports work came out of? Or
no, Wieden actually has come out of TBWA San Francisco.
Okay. I was always curious when I saw the Fox Sports television spots. Did the client come to your agency and say, hey, let's get out there, let's break the mold, let's do some stuff that's different, or was that something you guys pitched the client?
Oh, it's much simpler than that. He was my ex-Nike client.
So you did it over drinks.
Hey, let's go do some more work.
Yeah, so you had that creative strategy over cocktails.
Not quite cocktails, but it wasn't, you know, again, one thing that I've just been so thankful for was the experience with Nike, because it taught you how to drive a very performance automobile, so to speak. You know, you had to really be able to put things together well. You had to articulate it well, both to clients and to directors, and you had to figure out how to create innovative editing and sound and music and everything that you were doing. Every piece of the craft had to be fairly done quickly and done well. And I think that when you find some of those minds that have worked together, the great news was that when my client went over to Fox and he gave me a call, you know, we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about the brief. He basically gave me a few different words, gave me a piece of paper for the direction. I was able to disseminate that to one other team. And with that, we came up with the work.
Well, and certainly a lesson there for our listeners, if you're, be it on the agency or the client side, when you see everybody going in one direction, it's a great argument for another approach, a different approach, and that's how your work gets noticed. Folks, we're talking to the guy that created the Levi's Crazy Leg spot for, you know, back in the Super Bowl 2002. You may recall seeing where the body's going, staying static, and we've got the legs going another direction. We just have about a minute left here, Chuck. Was this strategy, what happened with Levi's? Was it too much, too little, too late, or did that really spike sales, or what happened with that campaign that was launched?
The campaign did great for the jean. I think the problem was that, you know, they'd done a lot of design work over in Brussels, and there's kind of becoming a European versus USA fight within the company, and the Europeans won, and we're part of the USA contingent.
Hmm. Well, that's some insight I don't think most people would know about. So, was that you personally that came up with the concept for Crazy Legs?
Sure did, yeah.
Yeah, and any insight in just 30 seconds or so that we have left as to...
Well, it was really simple. They kept on saying it's lighter weight jeans. It's lighter weight jeans. You can move around in them, and we just started to think about that, and you had the typical stuff where people are dancing and flying around and stuff like that. And finally we said, well, what if we could make one thing still and the other thing go crazy?
Let's continue this conversation in just a minute on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Chuck McBride, creative director of TBWH, Hyatt Day North America.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
When we decided to get a testimonial for Scotty's, we went right to the top.
That's what I like about a Scotty. It's a tree sneezer.
You know, Jimmy Durante never did get his flu shot. That's what eventually killed him, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Constant cold or something like that.
And, you know, when you feature him for the Kleenex spot, is it just me or wasn't that a missed opportunity to go to a larger version?
Like a brawny or something like that?
Why not? Yeah.
Exactly.
Supersize
it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Chuck McBride, our special guest, and room for one more segment here this hour on The Advertising Show, creative director at TBWH, Hyatt Day North America.
Yeah, just before the break, Chuck, we were talking about Levi's. And one final question on your Levi campaign of a few years ago. Why Mexico City for your shoot?
You know, it was something that Spike Jones thought of. We were talking about places to go. Well, also, just to be perfectly honest, we had a problem with all the extras in the background. If you want to go to a city in America and get a bunch of people walking around in the city to make it look like it's actually lived in, you have to pay them a lot of money when you run it. If you go to Mexico, you don't have to pay them, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're running over there already. Is that what you're saying, Chuck?
Right.
And, you know,
the border.
Frankly, it's a very colorful backdrop for...
Yeah, it was great. What it kind of fed into was, you know, there's been this emphasis on Tokyo for the last 7 to 10 years almost, really, because it was kind of, quote-unquote, the cool city to go to and do some neat foreign stuff with. But Mexico has been, you know, the whole Latin influence has been huge over the past 3 years. And even, I think, more so in the last few years. And so when we went down to Mexico City and did some scouting, we found all kinds of great stuff there. The music was really, you know, rich and hot, and they kind of came up with a Mexican rap, a Morros Perros that just hit the cinemas. And we just felt like, this is the right timing. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea, and it's certainly a memorable idea. You know, we talk a lot about cross-cultural marketing here on The Advertising Show, and I remember, Taco Bell Chihuahua campaign was... an outstanding campaign that TBWH Hyatt Day developed, and then more recently, after going away to another agency, they created the Think Outside the Bun, and we had a person from Britain on several months ago, and I said, now there's an example, Think Outside the Bun. That would never translate in England. You follow me?
Outside the bum?
It's a very American idea about a taco, isn't it?
Exactly. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, I know you have the automotive background that you began working with Subaru, I guess, and you know, I got to ask you, one outstanding piece of work that we've been seeing for the last few years, no secret here, is the Crispin Porter work for many. Do you think that huge budgets sometimes are part of the problem when it comes to mediocre advertising? In other words, the flip side of that is a lot of the more outstanding examples of work that I see or have seen oftentimes start with a client being challenged to market a product on a shoestring budget and challenging their agency to do something different.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the bigger the budget, the bigger the risk, the bigger the, you know, the downside if it doesn't work out. So everybody starts playing it safe, you know, and leaving the table a little too early, so to speak. You know, it just doesn't, it creates, I did, you know, work in the car business for a long time, and I think I did two spots a year. When we got up to wide, now I was doing over 50.
Hmm.
And just the idea of keeping things simple and small and experimenting, you know, is really a big part of the creative process. You know, you can't be brilliant if you just do two things a year.
Hmm.
Your chances of being brilliant are far better if you do more work.
Then I think that's called being lazy, of course, because you can be. And I'm not saying you personally, but just an attitude about that. But yet, you know, if you look at it, large budgets, P&G, you talk about large budgets and talk about mediocre work, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that there's a cultural issue, you know, in some of those kind of corporations as well. But the large budgets do tend to, I would just say, makes you a little bit more nervous, makes you feel like you got more to lose. I mean, it's always fun to have the money, and when you're doing something really outlandish, you laugh like children, you know, at the completion of it, because you go, I can't believe we spent all this money on doing this. But,
yeah.
You know, at the same time, I think going in, it tends to make people a little, just a little skittish. But it's really, again, no excuse. I mean, I think the car industry in the last 2 years have actually been doing an outstanding job with Mini and VW kind of leading the charge. A couple of ads coming over from Europe as well. So I think it's time for that industry as a whole to take the gloves off a little bit and get going, because, you know, the idea of a car is so ingrained in American culture that it certainly could use some better communication.
Well, Chuck, I want to say thank you for being a part of the Advertising Show. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this hour in this segment. We're going to let you go chop wood for dinner.
Excellent.
Right? Something
we're
like
good.
That.
I got a bear outside the door now.
Yeah, always goes quick when you've got a great guest like Chuck. Thanks, Chuck, for joining us.
Appreciate you guys.
And the Advertising Show is Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
What's up? Dino's stolen the different vitamins we need to make Flintstones.
Yabba-dabba-doo, yabba-dabba-doo. Flintstone vitamins are good to chew with vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Help your body work and grow right.
We put them all together to make...
You know, it used to be so easy to take vitamins, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Today it's like, okay, let's see, glucosamine, I got chondroitin, mm-hmm. I need my vitamin E, I got it to... You know, all this kind of stuff.
Marketing.
Ginkgo biloba.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you do that here, you're going to clean it up.
I love that name. Anyway, good talking with Chuck McBride. We let Chuck go back, and he's now chopping wood to have dinner so they can sing songs around the campfire.
True.
Where he's at this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun.
Did we ever determine, is it northwest or, I mean, we know he's west coast.
Yeah, he's somewhere in Northern California.
Northern California,
exactly.
Okay. Up there where they grow all that marijuana. I don't know that. I'm
don't
just
know
saying
that
he's with his kids. He's not doing that.
Okay. So it's good talking to him. And you know, I've got a couple of different websites. Actually, it's kind of confusing.
It is.
So just look for go to Google.
Actually,
type in Chuck's name and you'll find him. Okay.
Thank you, Stephanie Saratelli, our associate producer. Who's
well, I've got tbwachiat.com, and then I've got tbwa.com. And, of course, omnicomgroup.com is another one. So
that'd be a good way to do it. Omnicom.com would be a great way to get there because they—
Omnicomgroup.com.
Group.
Yeah.
G-R-O-U-P-E.
Yes.
No, without the E.
There's no E in group.
That would be British. Anyway, omnicomgroup.com would be a great way to get there.
What we've got to do is get Prince Charles' valet on the show sometime. Huh?
Hey, George. Is it true?
He's not going to tell.
You know, a valet—
He will eventually.
A valet over in England is not the guy that parks your car.
No.
He's the guy that's blowing your nose and combing your hair.
Put your pants on. Where this particular case apparently went the other way.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. We didn't say that, did we?
No.
Let's
they have big, they have major libel laws over there.
I know.
Fortunately, we're over here.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And the person who just said that was Brad, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Okay.
Hi. This is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from the Borowitz Report.
The White House had yet another piece of good economic news to trumpet over the weekend, announcing that Vice President Dick Cheney expanded even faster than the U.S. economy in the quarter just ended. Our economic policy, including our program of tax cuts for the highest income brackets, have resulted in the most dramatic expansion of a vice president in U.S. history, according to President Bush. While the president acknowledged that many Americans had yet to reap positive benefits from Mr. Cheney's explosive growth, he said that it was only a matter of time before the vice president's surging wealth trickled down to the rest of the country. According to the figures released by the White House, Vice President Cheney expanded at a torrid 11.2% rate in the last quarter, creating over 20,000 new jobs, most of them for the Halliburton Company. While economists expressed amazement at Mr. Cheney's unprecedented growth rate, however, some doubted that his dramatic expansion could be sustained. But Charles Donner, chief economist for Credit Suisse First Boston, predicted that the next quarter will also be strong for the vice president, with the completion of an oil and gas pipeline leading directly from the former Soviet Republic of Uzbekistan directly into Mr. Cheney's super-secret underground lair. With the completion of that pipeline, Dick Cheney will become the second largest economy in the world, Mr. Donner said. In other economic news, jobless claims were down overall in October, but way up in one key sector, the coaching staff of the New York Yankees.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Andy being all over the television and the radio, well, at least on this show, he's on the radio.
CNN, isn't it?
Yeah, CNN. He does at least a couple of shots every week on CNN.
Morning show.
Another morning show,
yeah.
With those two people.
Yeah. Soledad O'Brien.
And
Bill.
Bill Hemmer.
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 And you know,
if
you say that quickly, it's a combination of somewhere between an automobile and an ointment. I don't know if, you know, you think, what can you do with weather nowadays, right?
Well, not much.
Well, the Wall Street Journal, I think, has come up with a brilliant idea. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Wall Street Journal.
Sure.
They debuted Weather Watch recently, appearing on the back page of the money and investing section. Weather Watch provides information to business travelers about weather forecasts.
What is it, like you hold the paper up to the window and look outside?
Yeah.
They got a little hole there.
It says, you want to see what today's weather's like?
Look.
Poke a hole right here. No, apparently they give business travelers weather forecast and expected delays in key airline hubs. But what's also interesting is a section called Weather to Buy or Sell, weather as in the weather,
yeah.
Weather to Buy or Sell, which appears every Monday through Thursday. And it offers information about how the climate is affecting commodities. So,
really?
You know, if you're into buying commodities, you need to have that weather angle to it. But I thought it was an interesting idea.
Very smart idea.
Yeah.
Good conversation today with Chuck McBride, Creative Director, TBWA Chiat Day North America. And look forward to talking with Richard Kirschenbaum next week, co-chairman of Kirschenbaum, Bond and Partners. Good interview.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We look forward to having that as part of the Advertising Show. Remember, you can go to our website, theadvertisingshow.com, and you can find the show's archive. Today's show will be archived as soon as it cures.
Right.
Like a fine wine.
Yeah.
Or a piece of cheese.
We'll get it corked.
And that's theadvertisingshow.com. Also, it's a good place to go to send us questions and comments about the show, but only if they're nice and not
X-rated.
Or is possibly wanting to sue us or something like that.
Okay.
Good deal. So we'll see Richard next week on the Advertising Show, and so will you. Advertising Show, brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.